to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy, and I'm here with Casey.
Hi.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink, and she's also producing the show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com and be sure to tell us where you're from. And the show notes for every episode are on my website. Just go to verypink.com and click the podcast tab at the top of the page. This is episode 51, and our sponsors for this week are Rib Magazine and Wink Wine Club. Yes? Mm-hmm. Anything to say before we get started, Casey?
No.
No?
I'm good.
Let's do it. Let's answer some knitting questions.
All right. Hi, Stacy and Casey. I have knitted many socks before, but have just started my first pair of Fair Isle socks. I have just finished the leg, but I think that there is not enough give in it, so it is difficult to get over my ankle. Is this because my floats are too tight? I thought I had made them loose enough, but obviously not. I'm only letting my floats go over one stitch, but maybe I should make them longer. Any suggestions on how to fix this would be appreciated. I'm using Magic Loop. Thanks for your help, Claire from Tennessee.
Hi, Claire. I'm going to guess that, not guess, I'm going to tell you, yes, your floats are too tight, and it might not be your fault. You might actually be giving a decent amount of slack in your floats. But Fair Isle socks are kind of tricky this way anytime you have stranded knitting in socks, because socks have to be stretchy to fit properly, mm-hmm. right? They have to stretch enough to get over the ankle and then bounce back. And so your best bet is to use wool. And this is the time that I'm actually going to recommend sock blockers.
Mm.
So you can wash the socks and put them on the sock blockers. And if you're using wool, there'll be enough give in that yarn that when you put it over the sock blockers, it will pull your floats out just enough so you'll be able to get them on and off without trouble.
Yeah.
But if you're using something other than wool, I'm afraid, I don't know that you can leave the floats loose enough for that really to work.
Yeah. Or could it also be her, I'm guessing she's got her foot all the way through, it just can't get through her ankle, because I was going to say maybe the cast off or might be too tight too.
No, I think she's talking about the stranded part of it.
Okay.
I knit a pair of socks called Jaywalkers. Have you seen that pattern? It was really popular maybe, 10 years ago or so. I knit those and they're really pretty socks, and I used a Noro sock yarn, and it just so happens that the stitch pattern is not stretchy.
Mm.
And every time I put them on, I wore them a lot actually one winter, and it was a real struggle to get the sock over my ankle. I eventually ended up putting a hole in the sock where there was so much pressure of me trying to get
my
ankle actually pushed through.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And when it did, I didn't even bother to repair them. I was just like, this is not a good sock pattern for this yarn and my feet or whatever.
Yeah. All right. Next question. Thank you so much for your awesome podcast. I look forward to listening to you guys every week. My question is about reverse stockinette in the round. I'm knitting treehouse mitts by Mandarins, and virtually the whole pattern except for little trees are in reverse stockinette. I hate purling. Not only is it slower for me to purl, but I always get ladders when purling on DPN's Magic Loop. I was wondering if I could just reverse, no pun intended, the whole pattern so that it looks like the inside of the mittens is on the public side while I'm knitting. I was thinking when I finished, I could flip the whole thing out and have the finished mitts look exactly as they're supposed to. That way I could just knit for 90% of it and barely have to purl. What do you think? Thanks for taking the time to read my question. Annalie from California.
Hi, Annalie. Your guess is right. Yes, you can absolutely knit reverse stockinette inside out and knit every row. No problem. But if you're going to be flipping back and forth, you're going to want to do a little wrap and turn so you don't end up with a hole in the work. That's it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. I'm giving cables a try, but the last stitch of the cable keeps coming out much more loose than the other stitches. Could you please let me know what I can do to keep the tension the same as the other stitches? Thank you for all the help. Your wonderful videos have given all of us knitters. Maricela from the state of Georgia.
Hi, Maricela. Yes, I can help you out here. It's just kind of the nature of cables that the last stitch that you knit is going to be stretched out. It's traveling the furthest, right? So it's going to be stretched out. It's right there in front. It's hard. It's been stretched out for the other cable stitches that you've knit. It's hard to keep it tight. And this is kind of what you have to do. the last one, you just really have to wrench on that stitch. And then usually there are purl stitches separating the cable stitches. So you yarn forward, purl, yarn back, tug again. I'm going to link to a video about getting good tension between knits and purl stitches, because the cable stitch is stretched and then the next stitch is usually a purl. And the drag on the yarn in the action of yarning forward to purl will actually make that stitch looser. There are a few things going on here. So, or two things going on here. So really wrench on that stitch, make sure the stitch is really tight, yarn forward, purl, and yarn back and tug, and that will tighten up that first purl stitch, and then continue on with the pattern as it's knit. Again, it'll be clearer if you watch the video. But the other thing is that cables are best knit in a wool yarn, because if you have little tension issues like that, they will block out. They'll look a lot better after the fabric is washed.
Okay. Hi girls, I usually knit with superwash wool, but lately I find myself hovering around the natural wool section of the yarn store. The thing is that I don't have time to hand wash all the garments I plan to knit, emphasis on plan. Am I doomed to knit only with superwash yarn? I can't imagine myself over the sink every day, but those beautiful soft yarns whisper my name every time I get to the store. Thanks for all your good work. Avivit from Israel.
I think we've heard from Avivit before.
I think last episode.
Okay. She doesn't want to be a slave to washing wool. And Avivit, I'll tell you this. I have wool hats and wool socks and wool sweaters, and I don't wash wool every day. It just isn't very necessary. Yeah. Now, the wool socks that I knit and that I wear, I usually wear them a couple times before I wash them, and I knit wool socks from superwash wool so they can be machine washed and set out flat to dry. But everything else, you know, like my hats and my sweaters and my mittens, those things don't really need washing very often unless you spill something on them. Mm-hmm. Even the wool blankets and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, especially like a wool sweater, you're mm-hmm. going to wear a t-shirt under it anyway. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of just the nature of wool that it doesn't really get stinky or...
Yeah, I was going to say, that's kind of the beauty of the wool.
I think the only time hats are gross is if people wear them over dirty hair. You know that dirty hair smell? You don't want that, so you have to wash. No, but really, I usually wear knits for a whole season before. I only wash them once a year.
Yeah. And it's not like you're going to wear, I mean, maybe you are, but I don't think you're going to wear all your knits all the time every day.
No. And socks are the only ones that are really against your skin that you're going to wear all the time.
Yeah.
And if those are super washed, then you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you're not a slave to hand washing. Taking care of wool is actually a lot easier than people think it is.
And I would say you probably don't want to wash them every time you wear it.
No, it's like with the hairdresser, we have the same hairdresser, Vanessa. she told me I shouldn't wash my hair every day.
Yeah.
Because I've been my whole life washing my hair every day. And she's like, take it easy. Don't wash your hair every day.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
It's fine. It's actually a good idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Good morning, ladies. Good morning.
Good morning.
I know you have wonderful videos on weaving and ends on various fabrics, but I'm struggling with how to neatly and securely finish lace projects or projects that have created a very open work fabric. Is there any way to do this in a way that isn't super visible? I'm always worried about gifting or selling my knitted items because my fear is that my finishing techniques are not strong enough to last through washing and wearing for an extended period of time. Thanks so much for your help. As a side note, I am completely addicted to your tutorials, Stacy. I sometimes play them in the background just because they are so soothing to watch.
Oh, that's nice.
Thanks again, Jessica from Charleston, South Carolina.
Jessica, I feel your pain because I know exactly what you're talking about. You're trying to figure out how to weave in ends on a really open work lace pattern, and it isn't always very clear, because if it's really open work, you'll weave in the end and it might show and it might unravel. It might not really be secure. So a few things going on. First, if there is an area where the fabric of the lace is a little bit denser, weave it in all over the place right there and really secure it down. And if it's wool, it will, if you're knitting the lace out of wool, it will eventually kind of stick to itself and hold it there, no problem. If it's more open than that and you don't have a place where you can really secure it down, just do your best to follow the lace pattern to secure it down, and then do a little trick that I do when I'm knitting with cotton yarn. There's a way that I separate the plies and tie a little knot, then cut the ends really short. And that helps, that will make it secure. And if you've done a good job following the lace pattern, you can tie this little knot and cut it short, and it shouldn't be visually distracting from the pattern. But it is tricky. It's kind of a figure it out as you go kind of a thing, because lace patterns are all different and the yarn you're using, etc.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, Stacy and Casey. I'm very new to Fair Isle and want to give it a go. My question is it necessary to correct a color jog at the beginning of a round in which the first knit stitch is a different color than the one below, or is the jog part of the design? Sorry if this is a silly question. I've never knit Fair Isle before. Thanks, I absolutely love your podcast. Nancy from Massachusetts.
Hi, Nancy. I think someone just asked me on Facebook this very question not too long ago. And the truth is that it usually looks better if you don't correct the jog when you're knitting Fair Isle. And what Nancy is asking about is there's a little trick you can do so that when you're knitting in a spiral, and especially, okay, forget about Fair Isle for a minute. If you're knitting in a tube, it's essentially a spiral, and let's say you're knitting stripes, and there's a trick you can do so that you don't get that stair-steppy jog at the beginning of the rounds where you've changed color. And sometimes that works with Fair Isle, where you have two different colors going on. Sometimes it works to do the little color jog correction trick, and I'll link to that video in the show notes so you can see how to correct the color jog. But usually it looks better if you just leave it. Usually the pattern ends up coming out so then that if you correct it, you create more of a problem than you've solved. Have you knit enough Fair Isle to notice this?
No.
Okay.
I only did it a little bit.
Because if I'm working it, sometimes I will try it, I'll knit it, and I'll just say, I'll look at it. And I might leave it, or I might just tink it back and not do it. Yeah, you can always try it and just tink it back if you're not happy with it.
Yeah. Okay, next question. My name is Laura from England. My knitting question is...
That's quite a name, Laura, from England.
My knitting question is, if you notice you've made a mistake in the knitting a few rows back, I know you can knit across to above the mistake and then drop the stitch off the needle, pick down to the mistake, and then rework it. This is fairly easy if it is just plain stockinette or rib stitch, but how do you go about this if it's a complicated lace pattern? I struggle to work out what the stitches are needed to get me back to my current row. Is it just a case of ripping back and starting again, or using lifelines in the more complex patterns? Thank you for being a great knitting teacher. I have knitted off and on since I was a child, taught by my mom, Nan, and aunt. But 6 years ago, I wanted to try something more than just squares and scarves and found your tutorials online and have never looked back. Keep up the good work and keep warm, my friends.
Hi, Laura. I have a couple of videos out about correcting a dropped increase or decrease. I'll link to those in the show notes. But really, anything more than that, I do not. Anything more complicated than just a knit stitch, a purl stitch, a knit two together, or an SSK, I do not recommend dropping a column of stitches and trying to fix it. And when you're thinking about a lace pattern, you can't even drop down one column of stitches because that one stitch is involved in however many knit three together through the back loop, yarn over, all kinds of things. It is almost impossible to recreate what there was if you drop that column of stitches. It actually, sometimes it can't be done because there was an increase.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yes, your best option is to rip back and fix something if it's not quite right, which is why I always recommend using lifelines when you're knitting lace. Mm-hmm. You can string some scrap yarn through your work while it's on the needle. And then if you do make a mistake and you have to rip back, you have all those live stitches. It's almost, lace is not an easy thing to kind of fix. It has to be done properly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're knitting something with lace in it right now.
It's just a simple cowl.
You couldn't remember because you have so many projects going on.
I was thinking about that top that I had made last summer. But it's a simple pattern. It's not.
The lace is pretty easy.
I can pretty much tell within the row before the next row if I messed up or not.
And if you did, would you just tink back?
Yeah.
To fix it? Yeah.
But it's just a cowl, so.
Oh, right. Oh, I thought it was a sweater with a lace panel. Yeah. Oh, no, you're right. Yes, it's the yellow one, right?
The yellow one is brioche.
Oh, gosh.
But that I've messed up and I don't know how to fix.
Actually,
brioche.
Actually, no, brioche is, nope.
Yeah, this is my first brioche, and it's just going to be a cowl, and there's a couple spots where I'm like, I don't even know what to do there, and it's just going to be that way, and I don't care.
I haven't done brioche in a long time, but I'm not even sure the lifelines really work well in brioche. It's like, you just have to get it right and pay attention, because if you mess up, that's it. You have to rip out.
So that'll be the back when I wear it. It'll be the back of my neck. Fortunately, I keep messing up around the same area, like when I change the colors. So
the front of it's going to look great in photos.
Yeah.
That's good.
I will only show it up close.
Oh, that's good.
All right. Hello, Stacey and Casey. Thanks so much, both of you, for one of my very favorite podcasts. My question is about the use of images under copyright. In August, I bought Stacey's Learn to Knit Fair Isle / Bunny Slope Hat pattern and had a blast knitting it up. Thanks for the videos. Since then, using the pattern as a starting point, along with a hat calculator, some grid paper, and some math, I've been turning waste yarn into fun hats with my own designs for stars, hearts, lettering, etc. Translated, lots of my loved ones are getting these as gifts. I've been getting some requests for hats with specific images on them, such as sports, pro sports team logos, and favorite cartoon characters. Is it okay to create patterns for and make hats with images I don't own? I am not in any way interested in selling my knitting projects or patterns, because for me, it's about having fun and being creative. What are the rules here? Greta from Shoreline, Washington.
Hi, Greta. You're a very responsible knitter to ask this question. The big thing here, I think, is that you said you're not interested in selling your knitting pattern or what you've knit. That is the big thing here. And I'm not a lawyer, but I'm going to tell you that the Seattle Mariners, close to where you are, they're going to be fine with you putting a Mariners M on a hat and giving it to someone you know. That is going to be A-okay with them. When you open a factory and start making Mariners logo hats to sell at their games, that's where they're going to draw the line. I don't think anyone's going to mind if you use little logo patterns like that for Fair Isle or for duplicate stitch or whatever else. I don't think anyone's going to mind. Just don't sell the stuff.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
For sure.
So now, but here's where the question gets trickier. Like, Seattle Mariners won't care. But what if there's an artist who drew something?
Right.
Would they care?
But like on Ravelry, you know, like I think in your double knitting video, you're doing a Gryffindor bookmark or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't think those people pay Harry Potter anything.
No, and I think Harry Potter just looks at it like, this is awesome. Like, Harry Potter. I didn't mean to say that.
But I said they didn't pay Harry Potter.
They just look at it as, we have an awesome fan base.
Yeah.
They're doing all this stuff.
It's like inspired by.
Inspired, yeah. But I think if I went into production of Harry Potter bookmarks and started selling it, that would start infringing on their rights. Yeah. Anyway, Greta, I think you're fine. Make all the Seattle Mariners. She might not be a Mariners fan. She might be a Seahawks fan.
Yeah.
But keep going. You're fine. Just don't sell them.
Okay. Next question. I'm really enjoying the podcast. Thanks so much. I've been a very pink fan for a number of years and refer to certain videos frequently. Whenever anyone asks me to teach them to knit or help them, I always send them to your YouTube channel. My question is, when Kitchener stitching a tube-like item together where you cannot turn it inside out to secure the tail after the last stitch, how do you weave in that end securely? Thanks. Keep up the great work. Megan from, Truro?
Truro?
Nova Scotia.
Someone always makes sure that we learn the new, the
that
correct.
That must be like a Native American word or something.
Truro?
Not American because it's Canadian.
They're American.
But they're not Native Americans.
They're North Americans.
They're Native.
Yeah, Native Americans the, like.
They're North Americans.
Yes.
I guess that's true.
But it could be some European word. Yeah. Nova Scotia. I know people from Nova Scotia, but I'm not really sure who settled there. But there are Native Americans in that area, I'm sure, because they're in New York as well.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway. We could go on. We just don't know how to pronounce Truro. Maybe I just said it right. Anyway, let me get the answer to this question. Well, no. Actually, I'm going to flip this back on you, Casey.
Why?
Because get to your microphone. She like she's asking from 5 feet away. Why? She didn't
Making
expect me
tubes.
To flip this back. Well, no. This question really is...
It sounds
knitting
like
toys. And when you're knitting a toy, you stuff it and then you can't turn it inside out to weave that end in. So what do you do?
I don't know if this is what you're supposed to do, but I'll weave it in and then I just like stick the needle all the way through to the other side.
Through the stuffing?
And then
cut
I'll
it short.
Trim it short.
That's exactly what I do.
Yeah.
Exactly what
and
I
you don't
do.
Knit toys.
I have knit toys, but no, what else have I knit? I've knit things. things that required stuffing, and I can't think of what they are right now, but that's all you can do is secure the end after you've sewn it up, poke it through, stick it, and then like the fiber fill is going to hold it in place. Yeah.
That's what I do.
Okay. Well, I think that's all the questions we have for today.
Okay.
I think, and I actually do have a time thing here. Yeah, we're good. I want to get to our sponsors, to our lovely, happy sponsors. We have Rib Magazine. Awesome knitting magazine for men. And the new episode, every time I read some of their copy, I call it an episode, but it's an issue. Rib Magazine, we love you. It's an issue. It comes out in issues. It's a print magazine. The second issue should be available. And if you go to the show notes, I will have a link. It's a knitting magazine for men or women who knit for them. It's created to help fill the void in the men's knitting market. They're not just talking about men who knit. A lot of women express frustration and not being able to find a lot of good variety to knit for the men in their lives. Their focus is on high quality, desirable patterns and resources. Each issue of Rib has a distinct theme that over time will build a library of men's garments and accessories. And the new issue is, the theme is Navigate. And they're teasing us, telling us that if you like cables, .. this might be the one you want to see. So yes, go to the show notes for more information about awesome Rib Magazine. And our second sponsor is Wink. Wink is an online wine club that Casey and I both have been subscribed to for a long time. I enjoy their wines very much. They give you wine recommendations based on what you like to eat and drink. They have a simple 6-question palate quiz that asks you questions like, how do you take your coffee? Or do you like berries? And they use that information to match you up with wines tailored to your unique tastes. It's convenient, high quality, no risk, 100% satisfaction guarantee. And if you order now using our link, what is the deal, Casey?
You get $20 off.
$20 off your first box.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And if you buy 4 bottles or more on any order, they will pay for the shipping.
Yep, that's how I do it. If you want to take a look, get your $20 off, go to trywink.com/verypink. That's our unique URL. It's trywink.com/verypink. And yeah, we're excited about them. I think I mentioned it before. I've been using their subscription service since August 2014.
So it must be good.
Did you have anything else before we sign off here, Casey?
I don't.
Okay, you were looking. You actually had your face Truro. Up to the mic. Truro, okay.
No one knows where the name came from. I looked it up on their town website.
Or no city one knows where.
The name has been given to the townships by... in 1759, before any English settlement had occurred.
Okay. So maybe it is a Native American name?
Maybe.
Okay. But they don't know because nobody knows
where the name came
from. Nobody knows. Does it say how to pronounce it?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, we're still guessing.
I'm trying to read on and see because it's out. There's a... it's right by a salmon river.
Of course.
On the Salmon River.
Oh, there's a river called the Salmon River. Yeah. That'd be nice to live
there. Anyway, look it up. Truro.ca.
Oh, we can always link to it in the show notes. It's easy enough to do. Casey, if people want to find you online and learn more about the Salmon River.
My website is kcknits.com. The letter K and the letter C.
Okay. You can find me online, of course, on the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel or verypink.com. And if you scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, all of my social media buttons are there. That is all we have for this week. Thanks again to our lovely sponsors, Rib Magazine and Wink. And until next week, stay warm, my friends.